Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken. Always great care and great taste.
Welcome to our 6:50 a.m. WSM Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast. Hi, this is Charlie Matos. Thursday, September 24th of 2009, we'd be joined in studio by Country Music Hall of Famer Charlie Louvin. Boy, Charlie had a busy weekend. He'd be headlining Bluegrass Underground at Cumberland Caverns in McMinnville. He'd be on the Grand Ole Opry. He'd also be on the Ernest Tubb Midnight Jamboree.
He is playing Bluegrass Underground with those darlings, that darling himself, Country Music Hall of Famer Charlie Louvin, is in our studio this morning. We're going to visit, promote that show, and tell you where else you can see him this weekend. He's everywhere in Middle Tennessee, it seems. Charlie Louvin at 7 minutes after 9.
Coffee, Country, and Cody, 6:50 a.m.,
wake up, darling Corey. What makes you sleep so sound? The revenue officers are coming. They're gonna tear your steel house down. Well, the last time I seen darling Corey, she was sitting on the banks of the sea. Had a 44 around her body and a banjo on her knee. Yeah, go away, darling Corey. Quit hanging around my bed. Your liquor has ruined my body. Pretty women have gone to my head.
Disaster ballad. Mr. Happy is here this morning. Sings murder ballads and disaster songs. Charlie Louvin and Darlin' Corey. That is cut one.
You know, Bill, I left off of that record the best murder ballad of all.
What?
Jesse had a wife who mourned for his life, three children who were brave. The dirty little coward that shot Mr. Howard laid poor old Jesse
in his grave. I know that song.
I forgot to put that on there.
That's about the murder of Jesse James.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sensing a volume two.
Oh. We got to put that one on there. That is good.
There's tragedies every day, you know, that you can talk about.
I think Knoxville Girl's about as dark as it gets, and so you can put that one, if you do a volume two of these songs, you could put that one on there.
That's it's real weird, but that's the most requested song that the Louvin brothers ever recorded.
No kidding.
And I don't know why. You know, we had a number one record, but before they would request I Don't Believe You Met My Baby, they'd say, now we want to hear the Knoxville Girl.
And she never did make it in that song, no matter how many times you sing it. The outcome is always the same.
Well, so many people ask me, why did this dude do this dastardly thing to this beautiful girl?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you didn't listen to the song. Just when he threw her in the river, he said, go down, you Knoxville girl with the dark and roving eyes. She had eyes for somebody else, you know. And we still have those idiots running around out there today. If I can't have you, nobody's going to get you, you know.
Charlie Lubin, radio psychiatrist. If you'd like to call us this morning, feel free at 737-9650. Dr. Lubin will gladly take your calls and analyze your problem. It's good to see you. You stopped by the Huddle House down there near Manchester where you live, or what has your morning been like?
I didn't have time this morning. You know, 24 eastbound or northeastbound.
Yeah, everybody had the same idea. Is that what you're going
to
tell me?
Yeah, everybody was trying to get to Nashville at the same time. And I was lucky. I had just passed the HOV lane. I wasn't in the HOV lane. I was in the other lane. And I heard terrible screaming of brakes. I looked in my mirror, and this guy had too big a trailer. It pushed him into somebody.
Oh.
I heard you announce it, but I was on the right-hand side of the road, and I got by that wreck. But normally there will be a fender bender on the 24. Either way you go, it don't make any difference.
It sounds like Charlie ought to be Jeff Gordon describing, you know, like a post-NASCAR race interview. You know, I got by okay, I got by clean, I'm sorry about the number two over there, and
I'm different there. I wish that they would just, if I'm watching a football game, let me watch it. Cut mm-hmm. the mics off. Just let me watch a football game. And my wife thinks that the guy in the back of the race is ahead. She thinks he's already made a round and caught up with the guys. There's number one right there.
Your wife, she called here the other morning. And she said, Bill Cody? And I said, yes, Miss Betty.
Yep.
What's a guitar pull? And I thought, that is the oddest question. And I said, well, why do you ask? She said, because this is my 60th wedding anniversary, and Charlie's in Waycross, Georgia at something he says is called a guitar pull. And I said, well, you know, no, do not fear, my dear. After 60 years, this is not something untoward. He's just hanging out with a bunch of singer-songwriters, passing a guitar around. And so I'll let you pick up the story on why you were in Waycross and what you did when you got there.
Well, I wasn't aware of it, Bill, but this is about the fifth or sixth year of the Graham Parson. The Graham Parson was born in Waycross.
Oh, okay.
And they got auto parts places named after him, and motels and everything else. He was he is a well-remembered dude, let's face it.
Oh, yeah.
So we were there for the on a Saturday night, and Leon Russell was there on a Friday night.
Woo!
So they had worlds of foot-stomping music.
Well, you know, Emmy Lou was such she was a compadre and, of course, helped perpetuate his music after his death. And Emmy Lou, I remember her in an interview once saying that if she had, what she'd do one day was she would own a radio station, which to my knowledge she has not purchased one yet. But she said when she does, she's going to play nothing but Lubin Brothers and Buck Owens records. That would be the entirety of the playlist. Wasn't even going to play her own records.
I don't want to put Emmy Lou down or anything, but the Graham Parson was trying to teach her to sing harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, come over here, I want you to hear this. And he played her a Lubin Brothers song. I don't know which song it was. I don't think she remembers. But when the record was over, she turned to Graham and said, who was the girl singing the high part? And
who was the Lubin sister, in other words?
He straightened her out on that. But he's got a lot of product out at the guitar pool. I seen 8 or 10 different Graham Parson LPs. I think he left before the CDs got here.
Yeah, and, yeah.
It's 1975, I believe.
Where did you first remember realizing that the you and Ira had something special. Was it just the response you got from people at the church house who'd hear you sing and say, oh, you know, but there had to be a lot of brothers that were doing the same thing, trying to do the same thing anyway.
But I think we got our harmonies, different harmonies from the shape notes, the sacred harp.
Now, tell me what that is for the audience members out here who aren't music. What is a shape note?
A shape note, well, I guess it has shapes to it. You can look at it and tell if it's a fa, sol, la, or a no. And they do not use music whatsoever. One person is always there that can it has perfect pitch. Mm. It's hard to believe. And he'll run the note, fa, fa, di, da, da, and he'll hum. And that's the pitch. And everybody sings the notes on the song. And then they come back and do the words. And we was raised in a place that was infested with sacred harp singing and still is.
Hmm.
My mom, her mother was a Haynes before she got married. And in Dutton, Alabama, they have a Haynes reunion each year. And I missed it this year because I wanted to go to the Kitty Wells' 90th birthday.
Oh, wasn't that special?
At the end of August, I think it's the 30th. But it's the first fifth after the fourth. That's the way you identify. Sometimes that happens. You can get the fifth Sunday in July. But if it don't happen in July, it will always happen in August.
And these it's your mother's people.
Yes, and that's 105 years old. We always kid them. It's all day singing and dinner on the ground, whiskey in the bushes, and the devil all around. So,
now, which is the rougher bunch? The Louder Milks, your father's side, or the Haynes on your mama's side?
Oh, the Haynes is definitely gentle people. And my dad came to my family. His father's first wife had they had 12 children, and then he remarried. And my father was the first child in the second marriage, and they had 12 children in that marriage.
Wow.
You know, they really believed in the world. Go out and populate the world.
But, and how did Louder Milk become Louvin? How did you guys settle on that name? Was that a family name somewhere along
no,
the way?
No, it's not. I really don't know how we got it. We were trying to shorten, because nobody could spell Louder Milk. And the first 13 years that I was in school, I always had a sore nose from being called clabber milk, buttermilk, sour milk. And that would cause a fight every time. Sometimes I won a few and I lost a lot.
At least you're honest.
But you know, there's always another day. You may whip me today, but tomorrow might be different. But we just decided we would change it. It's no easier. People can't say Louvin.
Yeah, a lot of people called you the Lovin' Brothers in the early days until
they
knew.
Well, it is Lovin' if you take you out of it.
Hey, you heard it here. Charlie Louvin, loving it, every minute of it, on 650 AM WSM. Charlie Mattis, do you have something from I'll let you. You know you are so proud that Charlie is here. And your personal collection of Charlie's music, fact that you were down there in the heat and humidity of the CMA Music Festival this year, standing down there with your beach ball.
With my beach
trying
ball.
Trying to get the mosh pit going at Charlie Louvin's show. And
I so enjoyed that. That was
were you at the CMA?
I sure was.
Was you?
Outdoor at the CMA Center. Yeah, it was a great. I caught just the tail end of the Grascals, and then Charlie set, and Kyle Cantrell, our buddy, was down there kind of emceeing.
Yeah, from SiriusXM.
Yeah, the festivities that day. So, but if you stood just in the right spot, you got the shade from kind of the dome of the CMA Center.
Yeah.
It kind of just gave you just enough that you didn't bake. So it was warm. That was the warmest day for sure of the whole.
It's almost hot. Hot, wasn't it?
Almost, yeah.
Well, I got Charlie's greatest hits. Of course, I've got the gospel work that he did recently. I've got...
It's the one in your left hand, the one with the beautiful shot of Charlie's front yard.
Oh!
Yes, and this is one that I think kind of fits our times.
You want to play it for us here on WSM?
I do.
650 AM WSM and around the world at WSM Online. And when you feel it.
It's called Worried Man Blues.
It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. It takes a worried man
to sing a worried song. I'm worried now, but I won't be worried long. I went across the river and I laid down to sleep. I went across the river and I laid down to sleep. When I crossed the river, laid me down to sleep. When I woke up with the shackles on my feet. What's gonna be my fine? Ask that judge, what's gonna be my fine? Ask that judge, what might be my fine? 21 years on the Rocky Mountain line. The train arrived, 16 coaches long. I said, the train arrived, 16 coaches long. The girl I love is on that train and gone. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. I'm worried now, but I won't be worried long. Ask you who composed this song. If anyone asks you who composed this song, if anyone asks you who composed this song, tell it was I, and I sang it all day long. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. I'm worried now, but I won't be worried long.
That's Charlie Louvin, and he's playing Bluegrass Underground this weekend. Saturday afternoon show. Charlie's in studio with us this morning. And then you're coming back into town and do a couple of things that same day, Charlie.
I do the opera on the 8 o'clock show. And it's the time in between, Bill, that kills you. You know, we'd be through, I guess, by 3:30 at the caverns. Mm-hmm. And then you try to kill time till 8. You do the opera, and then you kill some more time. I guess we could rehearse some.
And then you're doing the Midnight Jamboree at the Ernest Tubb Record Shop. All right.
That's the only free thing in Nashville, folks. You can come to see us at the Ernest Tubb Midnight Jamboree. And I wanted to say that it starts at 12 o'clock, but it starts when the opera ends.
Yes, if you go back to the days of Ernest Tubb following Marty Robbins in that late segment of the opera.
I was in that once. I didn't go on until 5 minutes to one.
Good morning. It is 9:25. Charlie Louvin continues in just a moment. Charlie Louvin is in the studio this morning. He's playing the Bluegrass Underground show with Those Darlins. And that happens Saturday, and then he's playing the Opry late show Saturday night, and then off to the Midnight Jamboree after that. And you can go to MySpace, myspace.com, official Charlie Louvin. Is there an unofficial Charlie Louvin out there?
Oh, there's four or five of them.
Is there really? So, then you're off to Birmingham. You're going back to Alabama, back home to Alabama. Well, Section Alabama gets credit for being the home of the Louvin brothers, but you weren't born in the little community. Where were you born?
I and my oldest sister's born in Section.
In Section, okay.
Which is right on the top of the mountain up from Scottsboro.
On what mountain?
Sand Mountain.
Sand Mountain.
Yeah.
Great molasses from Sand Mountain. Yeah. I know that.
But then when I was two, in 1929, my daddy bought this little farm up at Henniger, up the mountain about 25 miles.
And what did you farm?
Well, we grew cotton, potatoes, corn, stuff like that. And then my daddy really got hung up on the watermelons. That you could make more money growing melons than you could cotton.
Yeah.
So we only had 40 acres and about 28 of it in cultivation. So he'd rent land from other people to plant melons on.
Huh.
And they were good to us.
Which was harder, watermelons or cotton?
Well, you only pull a melon one time, you know. Got to pick that cotton several times.
I read a great story about the early days of the Leuven Brothers. When you got here this morning, we were playing Johnny Cash's Man in Black. And there's a story on your MySpace page that I wanted to share here. You said, we were playing with Eddie Hill. I was selling tickets. You were in Dyess, Arkansas. I saw this young man standing outside alone. I asked him to show me where the bathroom was. As we walked back, he noticed I had two soda crackers in my shirt pocket. He asked me why, and I said, to keep him starving to death. I invited him to the show, and I could tell he didn't have any money. Years later, in his book, Man in Black, Johnny Cash wrote that he always ate two soda crackers before he went on stage.
That's the worst thing you could do, isn't it? But there was one other thing that I don't know. It's written in the book. When the show was over, this kid was standing under that single light outside the gym where we'd worked.
Uh-huh.
And he waved at the cars. Smiling Eddie was real show-off. But he had a 1948 Cadillac limo and a 1948 Packard limo. That's what we traveled in. And so as the cars was pulling out, I was in the front car. And he just waved at the cars. And I seen him. And I hit the button and rolled the glass down and waved back at him. He compared that with if he were standing along a railroad track, you know, and you pull the chain and the engineers see you and actually blow the train whistle for you.
Yeah.
But I think he was 12 or 13 year old then. And we stayed friends to the end. Of course, I didn't know he was the Johnny Cash at that time.
He didn't either.
No, but after the Navy got through with him, he came back, and John was a speeded up Tex Ritter.
I've never made that comparison, but I can see where you're going. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a Ritter fan, as I was. I've heard some good Ritter songs that I don't hear no more. Did you ever play the song, I had to have the gun to get the gold, and I had to have the gold to get the girl?
Oh.
Well, the guy robbed. He got a gun, and he robbed, and he got gold, and he got the girl. And then she took the gold and left with somebody else.
And then she got killed as the Knoxville girl later on in her life, which was an earlier conversation. And she had it coming, see, all that time. She had it coming. And Elvis opened for you guys?
Who?
As Elvis?
Yeah, Elvis opened when the Colonel first bought Elvis's contract, his recording contract, his management contract from Bob Neal. Yeah, he opened because we had always been, we were many others and also. And Elvis was also, and one of the many others on the show. It only took him 2 weeks. You know, he'd fly to New York and be on the Dorsey Brothers show, television show.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2 weeks, he went from also to the superstar status.
In 2 weeks?
In 2 full weeks, yeah. We would play somewhere in Florida or North Carolina on a Saturday night without him. It'd be Ira and I and Justin Tubb and Benny Martin and the Carter family. And so then he would come back and join us on Sunday. And just two or three of those shows lit his fuse, and he became, you know, I always thought Elvis was a fad. And his mom and me and my wife would go by his house because his mom was a big sacred gospel music fan.
Which was his favorite form of music right up until the time that he passed away. His
so,
mother, Gladys, you're referring
we
to.
We would go by there and thinking it was just a fad. When we was talking to Mrs. Presley, I seen a lady as old as my mom on her knees, reaching under the rail fence and pulling grass out of Elvis's yard. I knew it wasn't a fad then. But she was a jewel. Elvis is a good boy. Anybody that loved his mother as much as he did can't be bad.
Charlie Louvin's here. We're going to wrap it up. Take a break. Let's do that, Charlie. Let's go to the commercial break. We'll come back. Charlie Louvin Music and wrap up our conversation with Country Music Hall of Famer Charlie Louvin, who's playing Bluegrass Underground. I want you to be a part of that with Those Darlings. That happens this Saturday afternoon.
Coffee, Country, and Cody. 6:50 a.m. WSM.
I've got a real important job in a large office building, riding people in an elevator. I drive a 57 Chevrolet with busted taillights, burnout valves, and a leaky radiator. I wear a $20 suit I bought from JCPenney's back in 62. But I got something to brag about. Something to brag about, yes, something to brag about in you.
I'm a short order cook at a no-night cafe down on 18th Avenue at 12th Street. I wear a swinging mini dress that I made for myself from mama's kitchen curtains and old bed sheets. I've got 17 pages of top value stamps and one old pair of shoes. But I've got something to brag about.
Good, good loving, and that's one pleasure that money can't buy.
Let's get married in the not too distant future. We'll rent a little flat on 29th Street. You know we'll hang our washing on a clothesline from the window. We'll feast on cornbread, butter, beans, and lunch meat. We won't have a thermostat, a big long Cadillac, but we'll have a love that's true.
And I'll have something to brag about.
I'll have something to brag about.
Something to brag about in you.
I love when Melvin Montgomery says, hourglass figure. That's what you get when you combine Iron City, Tennessee with Florence, Alabama. People talk like that. Kind of like my mama when she calls here, Mama Helen. And we say hi to Melba. Our guest is Charlie Louvin, wrapping up our conversation with him this morning as he gets ready for Bluegrass Underground this weekend. That's a Bobby Braddock song. I had forgotten that he
sure
wrote
is.
That.
I heard the word Bobby Braddock on a current song that he wrote.
The new Billy Currington.
Yeah. So people
are crazy. He's had great success with that.
I want you to know that we appreciate you having us up. And my friend Kevin Cathy is with us, and Brett Steele. And we're going to go over here and have us a couple of hen apples.
Yeah.
And
is this like the equivalent of Elvis's Memphis Mafia? Are these the best two you could find this morning?
This is as close as you'll get.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill.
Good to see you, Charlie Louvin.
You don't want to be Red or Sonny. You get fired in the end. It's not a good story. You get to write a cool book, but, you know, so.
I'm just looking. In 2001, the Hall of Fame did some catching up. And Charlie Louvin, Charlie and Ira, share that 2001 class with Webb Pierce and Sam Phillips. And if my page will refresh here, Bill Anderson, the Delmore brothers, the Everlys, Don Gibson, Homer and Jethro, Waylon is in your class, the Jordanaires, the great Don Law, producer, Ken Nelson, and the Louvin brothers in the Country Music Hall of Fame. We're a couple of minutes away from 10 o'clock.
Yeah, they ought to do that again.
get one caught up.
One of these days they could catch up.
Well, you know, the day that Willie Nelson was announced, he was the only person that went in that year. And I want to say that was in the early part of the 90s, 93 or something like that. Willie said, hey, y'all, we've got to get caught up. And he ran down a whole list of his wish list of people. And over the next few years, I think all those people on Willie's list made it in.
Uh-huh.
That's something. Good morning. A couple of minutes away from 8 o'clock. Charlie?
We should also point out Wednesday, November the 18th, Charlie Leuven's going to be a part of our really great new series, Music City Roots, that's going on at the Loveless Cafe. You got to love a place where you can play and get a great meal at the same time. I mean, that's a pretty good combination right there. I was telling Charlie off the air, my wife, for her birthday this past March, only wanted to do two things, go to the Loveless and get the fried chicken and go bowling. That's a pretty good combination right there, huh?
Well, a maintenance man ain't got no business with a high-maintenance woman. That's what I would say. Yeah. Oh, by the way, and to you and Miss Betty, congratulations on 60 years together.
I mentioned
that a little earlier. So where did the two of you get married? What were the circumstances?
In Hernando, Mississippi.
Any particular reason you went to Hernando, Mississippi?
Well, you know, it was
Did you easy. Slip off?
It was easier there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he'd go through all these rigmaroles in Hernando, and, you know, you could marry anything.
Thank you, Charlie Leuven.
Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken, always great care and great taste.